think of, oh, since I'm not the host, I can't.
This is Alan Karpik on our Sunday version of our Saturday conversation, Saturday simulcast. I want to thank our sponsor, Purdue Union Club Hotel. And who knows, I guess they won't be having a watch party next weekend because if Purdue and Indiana do in fact play, they will be playing in Bloomington. But I want to thank them. And also want to remind you that Golden Black makes a great gift for the holidays, and still time to, we have a 40-day free trial going on as well. And certainly a chance for you to subscribe to our site and make your Purdue fan really happy. And guys, and we don't need to be skeptical, but sometimes in life you have to be a little bit, but Purdue, Indiana scheduled for 7:30 on Friday night. Looks good on paper. In reality, at least if we're reading the tea leaves and listening to or making sense of all this, it just doesn't seem like this game's going to come off. But Tom, is that your feeling at this time?
Yeah, Alan, you know, we got first of the bit of bad news last week, obviously, with first of cancel practice. Purdue practice cancellation on Tuesday, and then, of course, subsequently on Wednesday, we get the mutual agreement to cancel the Bucket game. Overall, COVID issues in Bloomington and West Lafayette both. And here we are, guys, a few days later, the Champions Week matchups are unveiled. Lo and behold, looks like we have another stab to get this Bucket game played, as you said, Alan, Friday night down in Bloomington. But, and that's the operative word here, but
yeah,
all of us are hearing rumblings, I guess we'll just call them rumblings, right, that the COVID situations on both sides of the ball lead us to think that the situation may not improve enough for this game to actually come off. Now, we could be wrong. As Alan said, we don't want to be negative. But again, the people that we are sort of dialed into, rumblings we hear sort of cause all of us collectively, I think, to believe that we still may not get to kickoff on Friday night to see this old Oakland Bucket game played.
You know, it's interesting, Brian, in terms of how they schedule this. Now, this is supposed to be crossover games. And as it turns out, it's kind of the make good games because you've got Minnesota and Wisconsin on one side also. You have Michigan going to Iowa, a game that doesn't appear to have a lot of likelihood of being played, or of Michigan playing, but again, who knows? Just an interesting scheduling quirk to this of kind of, this was kind of your makeup week in some ways, as it turned out. Obviously, it's going to serve its purpose for the noon kick for Teen Ohio State and Northwestern for the Big Ten championship. But Brian, is that a fair way to look at this and you, from your perspective, or what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the Big Ten can talk about trying to protect its rivalries the best it can. I mean, that's been a priority for them in their scheduling.
Sure.
Let's say Purdue and Indiana can play. The Big Ten, you know, can, you know, at least say that one of its, you know, sacred games has been protected. The other part of this too, practically speaking, is you have quote unquote quarantined these two teams together. So it's an easy cancellation when they have to cancel. But I think that's kind of went into it. I don't think this was a game. This was a quote unquote Champions Week game. I think this was a game scheduled out of a couple of other considerations, one of which would be convenience, because if you pull this game out, these two teams don't affect anyone else. TV schedule can easily be amended to move back Rutgers, Nebraska, or whoever's playing on Friday. Before that, they can just kick off a couple hours later. You have your TV time slot filled. If you have to fill 4 o'clock on a Friday, so be it. I think that's
reasonable things. And, you know, Tom, we had talked this before we started recording about Indiana playing Iowa again. Not that we're studying the New Year's Day six, but it seems to me that game, if you really thought Indiana was going to be able to play, that Indiana and Iowa would be a game that might be able to, you might be able to shoehorn a team into the New Year's Day six if with the winner of that game. And now you have Iowa taking Michigan, a team that's also had COVID issues, to say the least, not to mention every other issue this year. But that could impact this. It's an interesting discussion point for a Sunday afternoon. It may be nothing or a little more than that.
Yeah, I was DMing with Jerry Palm about some of that stuff today. And he said, yeah, there's no doubt in Iowa, Indiana Champions Week game would have obviously enhanced the resume of the winner. without a doubt, and hopefully gotten that winner, probably like you said, a New Year's Day 6 bowl. Again, that's off the table, and here we are, guys. You know, Brian pointed out earlier, when we were off camera this morning, about I think how every Big Ten team who's had COVID issues has missed at least 2 games in a row. The only team, I guess, that hasn't, that's had games canceled that hasn't been 2 in a row is Ohio State. They've had cancellations, but they haven't missed 2 games in a row, but they weren't responsible for the Illinois outage. But long story short, I think what Brian was trying to say is typically if a team has a COVID outbreak, it's typically been silent for 2 consecutive games. So just to kind of give listeners and viewers some perspective here, why maybe we have more doubt about this IU Bucket game taking place 1 week after it was canceled for the first time. So again, just I guess we shouldn't be shocked we're limping to the finish line, I guess. I suppose we should be grateful that we saw 6 Purdue games and as many Big Ten games as we have to this point.
Yeah.
We certainly would have liked things to have gone differently, more games to have been played, more rhythm to have been developed, more chemistry developed. But here we are, guys, and I'm disappointed that it's finished or it could finish like this. I'm hoping we get to see Purdue one last time because, guys, you'd have to agree that, boy, you certainly would like to go into 2021 with a better taste in your mouth here for Purdue. Have the bucket back in your trophy case if you could. I know it was a long shot, but still, you would have liked one more chance to compete to see what you had.
Yeah, I think that's in a perfect world, that would be a good outcome. But then you look at the other side of this and say, boy, you're depleted and you're going to be, you already were an 11-point underdog going into that game last week if that was going to be played it on paper again. It would have been a challenge. So we'll see. We'll see. We may know more by the time you watch and listen to this. We may know more Monday, certainly, on what that what those possibilities will be and what will be. But I thought Brian's point from that you mentioned makes a lot of sense. All right, Brian, we'll turn to you now. Obviously, the Boilermakers men's basketball last night had an important win, in my opinion. Not a thing of beauty, certainly. But got the win still the same, and we'll be heading into Big Ten play this week against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Have a murderer's row of schedule, which is kind of like the whole Big Ten anyway. I mean, every game's going to be darn near difficult, or many games will be. So you obviously had your comments and rap video from last night, but now that you've had a chance to kind of sleep on it, where do you see the Boilermakers right now?
Well, they got a long way to go. You know, I think last night, you know, you're obviously happy to win, but you would have been really unhappy to have lost. I mean, you don't want to lose at home to Indiana State coming off the really disappointing loss at Miami. But if last night got Travion Williams going, if last night got Aaron Wheeler going, you know, great. But this team has to stop turning the ball over.
Yes.
And they have to play better defense. They have to be, I keep saying this, but I don't know if they have the pieces to be a great defensive team. But they can be much better than they are together. They can be a better defensive team collectively than the sum of their parts. And I think that's an urgent need right now, but I think the turnovers are an even more urgent need because the two things are connected. When Purdue doesn't turn the ball over and it doesn't give up easy baskets off of those turnovers, as it has done way too much this season, including last night, it has a much better chance defensively. And I just think, you know, there's going to be situations all year where Purdue's best defense is a good offense. And they just have to be, they have to be better offensively. They have to be better passing the ball. They have to have more savvy offensively than they have. They've got to set legal screens. You know, it's just, they've got to clean that up or else it could be a long season.
The Big Ten, obviously, and just going to be, really difficult. Watched a little bit of Illinois and Missouri last night, and Brian, you were working hard in the middle of that. But and Missouri beat Illinois last night, but Illinois looks like they have a lot of pieces there, as we already know, and you go all the way down the line. Ohio State will present a big challenge for Purdue. Any more thought on where Jaden Ivey is at this point? I mean, is there still a hope that he'd be back for the Ohio State game, or anything that you heard and what you've written about that? Anything from a gut feeling standpoint?
Well, that was the initial hope, but he hasn't practiced yet. So as soon as he practices, then that becomes a more legitimate possibility. But it's conceivable, I guess, that he could practice tomorrow, something like that, and he could play Wednesday. But as of right now, he hasn't done that. It seems to me like he's gingerly kind of warming up during, you know, before games, not really doing a whole lot strenuous, but he's at least physically active. He's not, you know, being stored in a jar of formaldehyde or anything like that. So I would think that, you know, he's trending well with time, but until he actually practices, it's not something that would seem imminent.
Hey, Brian, you know, they shook the starting lineup up quite a bit last night, put the youngsters in there. Just sort of give us your sense. I guess the message was sent, and maybe how you see the starting lineup projecting going forward here.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll stick with the same starting five for the next game. That's kind of been his MO with these sorts of things. This was, at least at center, I think the Mason Gillis over Aaron Wheeler thing was a no-brainer. I think Eric Hunter over Isaiah Thompson was the natural reascension. That's not a word, but that was, it was only a matter of time before Eric Hunter got back in the starting lineup anyway, because he's so important. I think that was just kind of the natural, his kind of natural return there. That Isaiah Thompson didn't play very well at Miami, just made it all the easier to make that move. But I think the thing at center was not necessarily a promotion for Zach Edey as much as it was button pushing for Travion Williams. I think that was more about Williams than it was about Edey. Not that Edey hasn't played well, but I think that was a move specifically and almost exclusively made to try to get something more out of Travion Williams. You know, how much of that played into his play last night, I can't say for certain. He said it helped him, but who knows? Because when he first came in the game, he got through his whole tour of playing time without really doing anything. And it was his second stint in the game where he really started to go off. But, you know, he's had to be better than he's been. He's had to be more consistent. He's had to be more efficient. He's had to be simpler. He's had to play to his strengths more than he has. I don't know what his issue has been prior to this point. He's missed a lot of shots that he normally makes. It's been my opinion early this college basketball season that the difficult offseason, you know, was harder on big guys for which conditioning is really a challenge than anything. But I don't know if I can necessarily tie that to him missing shots that he normally makes 65% of the time, but he just hasn't been sound. He hasn't been as simple as a player. I hate using the same words Matt Painter uses because it sounds like I'm just parroting the coach, but he has overcomplicated a lot of things he's been trying to do. And he just had to get back to basics. And I think he largely did that last night. You saw what happened. He dropped 30 on Indiana State. If this was a turning point for him, if this makes him a more consistent, more efficient, more focused player, then Purdue's going to be way better off because of it. But we will see if it's an enduring change now.
You know, you play with Zach Edey last night also, you know, he was didn't have to do as much because of Williams having the game he had. Talk about that, but also Ethan Morton too. Just that you know, slow progression, it seems to me reasonable because of his illness coming in, but a guy that will be something to watch. I mean, in terms of the progress of Morton, et cetera. So you've got two freshmen that have potential certainly and have shown it, but maybe Morton's got further to go. I mean, how do you see his progression at this point?
Yeah, I think he's acclimating to the speed of the game. I think he's telegraphing his passes. I think some of his passes have been sitting ducks. And I think over time he will, he will get that under control. This is not what I expected from him early in his Purdue career. I expected him to be a guy that Purdue could absolutely count on, if nothing else, taking care of the basketball. But that hasn't happened to this point. But he's not the only one. This has been an issue, you know, team-wide for Purdue. They're throwing a lot of weather balloons out there for guys to jump and steal and get out in transition or get fouled or things like that. That's what's just got to clean up is, you know, Purdue has to make opponents earn everything they get against what might end up being a mediocre defense, but it will be an established defense at the very least. I think in terms of Ethan Morton, I think, you know, now that Eric Hunter's back, you can bring him along a little slower than you were able to before. I think, you know, perhaps giving him a little bit more time on the bench to actually watch and process things maybe helps him a little bit. I don't know, but he obviously, you know, has to take better care of the basketball as well. Zach Edey has to just go through all of the stuff Isaac Haas went through, where, you know, all of a sudden he has the ball a foot from the rim, but he's got three people on him, and he has to learn to keep the ball high. He has to learn not to squash people and get called for offensive fouls, because we all know that when you're that big and your elbows are where your elbows are, and, you know, your feet are as big as your feet are, sometimes incidental contact is going to look a lot worse than it actually was. And that's just all the challenges that officials had calling Isaac Haas, or all the challenges they're going to now have calling Zach Edey. And the moving screens are something that aren't as complicated as that part of it. And I think he just has to be more fundamentally sound. He has to be more technical in what he does. He has to be more poised and controlled in what he does, and understand that he's played basketball for 2 years. So there are some fundamental things that I think he's still fine tuning that, you know, he's basically having to do on the fly here at a very high level. So it's pretty natural that this stuff is happening. Purdue's going through this, Zach Edey's going through this, but it's something that isn't going to be something that can never get cleaned up either.
Hey, Brian, big week coming up, December 16th to the 18th. Early signing period for college football. Purdue's got 12 verbal commitments, I believe. Just kind of talk us through real quick on maybe what fans can expect, any additions before that signing day expires, and I guess what to expect here coming down the stretch over this early period.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a small class. It will be an incomplete class as of the signing early signing period, as will be the case probably every year from here on out, because the transfer chaos is about to really hit the fan. And Purdue, you know, was very active in the graduate transfer market before this, but now it will be, I think, even more so once this transfer reform passes and everybody's basically free to transfer once without penalty. So Purdue is going to hold some spots back, I'm quite certain, and really try to go after some guys that can help them right away next year. But in terms of the high school class, you're going to see Purdue sign. Again, it's going to be a small class. I don't know if it's necessarily going to have the headliners that some of these past classes have. Every class Purdue signed the last couple of years has had a really high-end wide receiver in it, some really heralded guys who could reasonably expected to step right in right away. I think Purdue's best bet for that at this point would be adding Yanni Karlaftis before signing day. You know, their linebacker situation is such that a really talented high school recruit, as hard as it is to walk into a Big Ten starting job at linebacker right away, I think he's the guy who might, you know, be slotted to potentially do that. Other than that, I mean, I'm not really sure this is the same level of instant impact kind of class as the past couple classes have been. You've seen true freshmen in each of Purdue's last three recruiting classes really come in and make profound impacts right away. I guess this year, probably less than the two before. There wasn't necessarily unless I'm forgetting somebody, which I might be. I'm thinking about Gus Hartwig really coming in and helping them this year, but I don't know if they're going to have that.
Not it. Yeah.
Is Pat, am I forgetting somebody? Who am I forgetting?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I'm trying to think of else, Tom, that's really
good. You mean the current true freshman?
The current true freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah. There haven't been a lot of guys that have had big impact, Hardwick. I guess, Brian. I guess Hardwick's been the obvious one. Yeah. You know, we've seen more on special teams. Antonio Stevens got hurt. He played a lot of snaps. You know, Salusi Kane was a big special teamer as well. But, yeah, by and large, you know, Malik Carr's probably played 30 snaps. But, yeah, there hasn't been a skill position guy, I guess, as a true freshman this fall that's really impacted significantly on either side of the ball.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be kind of that top-heavy sort of class where there's going to be those sort of supremely standout guys who are going to step right in right away. They will add a couple guys for signing day. There's a tackle, Marcus Embau. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I haven't spoken to him yet to ask him. I've just kind of DM'd and texted with him. But, and then obviously the hope is they'll also add Yanni Karlaftis this year before the signing date, which would seem like a reasonably safe bet.
All right, well, we'll stay tuned for that. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Tom. One more.
I'll ask you a quick question, Brian. So probably a quarterback-free class.
Yeah, since Sam Jackson seems to have wigged out on Purdue, and I don't know where he's going to end up. I don't know who you're going to get at the last second. So I would think that it's a quarterback free class, which isn't, I mean, if you you got Jack Plummer back, you got Aiden O'Connell back, you got Austin Burton for another year. You've got Brady Allen committed for 2022, which is huge. It's a year where you can,
yeah,
you could probably pass on one. You would prefer to have not, but I don't know if it's the end of the world. I don't think it's a situation where you just go out and sign a guy in a week or try to flip somebody else's quarterback commitment at the last second to just to sign somebody, but you never know. It's possible they might, but they could use that scholarship elsewhere also.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting storyline to watch as well. As we wrap up going to the last half of the last month of 2020. All right, guys, always interesting, and I appreciate your time today. I want to thank the Purdue Union Club Hotel and also remind you that we still are taking gift subscriptions for – we'll take gift subscriptions any day of the week, 24 hours a day on goldandblack.com. Great time to subscribe. And we will have a busy week. We'll have much more on Purdue, Indiana, where that game's going to come off. A couple men's basketball games this week with Ohio State and Notre Dame on the slate. There'll be a lot going on. So have a good rest of your weekend when you're or a start of your week and when you're listening and watching this. And we'll look forward to talking next week on our Saturday, Sunday. Maybe we ought to call it weekend conversation. I'm not sure what it will do, but we appreciate everybody watching and listening.